Thanks for downloading the free feed of Sunday Night's Main Event. If you'd like the entire show commercial-free, please sign up to our Patreon at patreon.com/SNMEradio.
And all of these neurologists, every specialist, every doctor I've seen has said the same thing, and it is this. You are cleared.
This is Sunday Night's Main Event.
In clear violation of the law.
With Jason Agnew.
I have a microphone and I can be louder than each and every one of you.
On TSN Radio.
I'm not finished with you!
WrestleMania is still on. Not for one night, but two. UFC finally gets their reality check, and AEW has figured out how to make empty arenas entertaining. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the self-isolation edition of Sunday Night's Main Event, Canada's premier wrestling radio show, in a time where radio has become all the more important in our isolated lives. My name is Jason Agnew, and yes, I'm in studio this week. I've actually been in studio a lot more than I ever have been in my life, but more on that later. However, we've had a few changes in the show this week. First of all, our own Le Champion, Joe Aguinaldo, was supposed to be co-hosting with me this week, but Joe's day job is an IT specialist for a large Canadian broadcaster, so as you can imagine, he's working around the clock to get everyone in his company set up to work remotely. So, we had to make some adaptations, and joining me as my co-host this week, from his own personal self-isolation, Mark Andrada. How you holding up, pal?
I'm doing great. So what I'm hearing from you now is that since Joe Aguinaldo,
yes,
the champion, can't be here, that the title, the six-pack title is vacant, and that you, as Eric Bischoff, have just handed me this title. I'm the Triple H in this situation. So I am once again the six-pack challenge. Champion, thank you very much, Jason. Thank you so much for this.
All right, listen. I don't know if we can go with that. Plus, I don't even know if a title is going to be defended as we continue on. Should we even do predictions for WrestleMania? I think we will, but I'm going to figure that out. Also, you're not a contender at this point. You've lost three times.
I'm not a contender. I'm the champion. You just gave me the belt.
Listen, it is nice that you're here with me, though, because last week, Mark, you and I were snuggled up in this studio, and we talked about how AEW can make television with no fans entertaining. And I will say, after watching what happened this week, these guys have got it.
Right? It's crazy. It's a night and day difference. It is so hard to watch SmackDown and Raw.
Oh.
It is such a hard thing to get through. But AEW was fantastic. I'd watch that again.
Yeah, so we're going to talk all about it on the show today. News of the week is going to kick things off. We'll get into AEW. We have to talk about WWE because we had to watch it. So we're going to talk about it. Dave Meltzer is always self-isolated, so we will connect with him in hour two. And of course, we're also going to have on a guest this week. Now, he's the promoter of Greektown Wrestling. His name is Channing Decker. He's also a wrestler. And he's going to join us in hour two because he landed himself the role as Chris Jericho in Dark Side of the Ring season 2 on Vice, and that's going to become available on Crave this week here in Canada. So we're going to have Channing on an hour or two to talk about that role and also talk about being a promoter and being a wrestler during the coronavirus and how it has affected him and put a stop really to everything he's doing. Plus, the first ever triple threat edition of the Turnbuckle Trivia Tournament to crown our 2020 Le Champion. That one is up for grabs tonight, Mark, not for you. And we will also be doing the Name That Theme edition of the Turnbuckle Trivia game. So that's what we're doing. We're taking a break, though, however. We're going to be coming back and talking about the news of the week. You are listening to Sunday Night's Main Event and doing so right here on TSN Radio.
Hello, Gordy Levesque here. No one swings and hacks like I do. And no one struts quite like I do, too. And no one brews beer like Great Lakes do. Canuck Pale Ale, my beer, your beer, our beer. Available in over 400 LCBO and grocery store across Ontario for only $2.80. Great Lakes Brewery, brewed for you, Ontario.
And now, your wrestling roundup on Sunday Night's Main Event.
Welcome back to Sunday Night's Main Event. This week in the news, everything's canceled. Listen, I'm not going to run through a list of things that are canceled because it all is. However, wrestling still remains the cockroach of the sports and entertainment industry, and somehow, some way, there will be something that will be called WrestleMania this year. As I'm sure you know by now, WWE announced that WrestleMania will be split up over two nights, Saturday, April the 4th, and the original date of Sunday, April 5th. It's unknown right now as to what matches will be aired on what night and when the show is going to be taped.
This is going to be such an interesting WrestleMania.
Yeah, for worse, I would say, though, Mark, because we've seen what they've done over the past 2 weeks, and I have zero faith in this company.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm still hoping they pull out a surprise. I'm hoping they have some matches like in ballrooms or in the middle of a jungle or that kind of thing, you know?
I mean, there is that chance. They have said multiple locations, which, yeah, you're about to give details on that.
Yep. WWE has also started to tape its weekly television. As you could tell on SmackDown this week, it was taped. It was made very evident by the Miz Morrison multiple characters sketch. WWE's plan was to tape Friday's SmackDown and the two subsequent SmackDowns to air on March 27th and April 3rd over the past few nights at the Performance Center. Raw on Monday night will also be a taped show, and then Raw to air on March 30th will also be taped at the same time.
Now, the current plan for NXT is unknown. As of yesterday, there was hope of doing a regular show as opposed to the studio-style slash interview show they did this past week, but nothing further has been confirmed. WrestleMania is likely being taped, but that decision is being kept secret. What we can say is WWE did remove the word live and is now using the term streaming live, which had previously been on the website. Now, this is actually the exact same thing that I do, Mark. When we're not live, when it's not a pay-per-view night, I'll be like streaming live on TSN 1150. So I see exactly what they're doing here.
Yeah. Wait, we're not live right now?
What? Huh? Wait, you and I are.
In the world of AEW, the company put out a series of tweets on Friday night stating that the time is not right for the Blood and Guts match to take place. In its place, Matt Hardy and Chris Jericho will have some sort of face-to-face confrontation. We don't know whether the other advertised matches, such as the Lucha Brothers versus Best Friends parking lot match and a Wardlow versus Luchasaurus Lumberjack match are off as well.
As we've reported on the show in past weeks, Nick Jackson is off AEW TV because his wife was pregnant. Well, the couple did have a baby boy earlier this week, but it's unclear when Nick will return to the promotion.
Mazel tov, Nick Jackson. For those of you looking for self-isolation programming, E! Network announced the premiere date for Dan Lavransky's favorite television show, Total Bellas, Season 5. It's been moved up a week. It will now premiere at 9 p.m. Eastern Time on Thursday, April 2nd.
I just had this vision, Mark, of WWE's not putting on stuff, AEW's not putting on stuff, so instead we just have Lavransky review Total Bellas.
I'm into this. I would watch that live stream. Dan Lavransky in a second screen experience where he is just sitting watching Total Bellas. Yes, please.
Well, we need alternate programming, so who knows what can happen. Speaking of alternate programming, ESPN also announced that they will be starting to air a series of classic WrestleMania events over the next three Sundays. Earlier tonight, we got WrestleMania 30. Next Sunday, it's WrestleMania 32. And then, finally, WrestleMania 35 is going to air at 3 p.m. Eastern on Sunday, April 5th, because, you know, you just want to keep watching wrestling back to back to back. And let's put last year's event, which has the crowd, right before this year's event, which doesn't have a crowd.
Yeah, that's... I'm not going to watch any of that. Are you going to watch any of that?
No, I can get it any time. I have the network.
Why am I asking that? We could both watch this whenever we want, if we wanted to.
It's not a bad idea. It's not a bad idea because ESPN is desperate for programming. And, you know, for lapsed fans to see stuff like that, I'm honestly surprised why they didn't go back to, like, WrestleMania 3 and get Hogan and Andre on there.
Yeah, that's more surprising to me that they didn't put on some classic programming as opposed to some of the more recent stuff.
And then every break, you promote that you're still doing a live show, and it's on Sunday, and you need to order the WWE Network.
Yes. A little bit of foreshadow from WWE after Roman Reigns tweeted that one of the WrestleMania main events belongs to him and Goldberg, and he asked, "Who will claim the other night?" Edge responded, "Aw, that's cute, big pup. But whether you realize it or not, if Randy Orton has the nads to accept my challenge for WrestleMania, we've already marked our territory on what the real main event is. After 9 years, the wolf is back in the yard. Hashtag last man standing. Hashtag main event." So what? Spear versus Spear part two?
Yeah.
After this whole thing is done?
I love it. Actually, it was one of the things that we talked about coming out of the Royal Rumble, that they had a confrontation, Roman and Edge did. And this is a program that I would actually be down for, don't you think?
I don't know.
No?
I don't know. Edge for... Okay, sure. Listen, if you're into it, I'll be excited for
no,
you. But
why are you not?
I'm not a, Edge versus Roman Reigns as a program, really? I don't know. I worry for Edge's neck. I'm not sure that I want to see Edge in there a whole lot.
And I'm not saying right away. I'm saying that, you know, down the line, whether it be, it could be, you know, Rumble next year, it could be Mania next year, it could be SummerSlam. I don't know. I agree.
Okay.
Edge is going to be a part-timer, but in the programs that Edge could work, I think Roman Reigns is a valuable program, and I'm just a mark for the same finishing move, and Roman Reigns going through generationally people who have used this move and taking them out.
Right. Okay. I'm back on board. If it's not right away, my imagination said that it was going to happen immediately after WrestleMania, and that I'm not interested in seeing. But if we're talking about Rumble next year,
yeah,
or even Survivor Series,
sure,
okay, that I can handle.
All right. And speaking of getting back to normal, things in Japan are, I guess, for better or for worse. You see, Stardom, Dragon Gate, and DDT will all be running shows in the next few days. New Japan, which was hoping to resume action on March 31st at Sumo Hall, has not made an announcement. Stardom announced that there will be fans in attendance for the one-night tournament, but there will be a screening process, including a physical check and each person's temperature being taken. No entry will be allowed to anyone who has a temperature over the 98.6 degrees Fahrenheit, which is, of course, regular body temperature. Mark, to me, it's too early to do this. I don't necessarily know how things are in Japan. I know they're a little bit ahead of what's going on here in North America, but to me, are all systems clear already?
Well, I mean, the reason given why several Japanese companies are returning to live shows with fans this week is that at yesterday's government meeting with experts on the coronavirus, the doctors reported that the virus spreading has now been limited to 3 parts of Japan. In the rest of Japan, belief is that isolationism will be ending soon and that schools will be reopened and sports and entertainment events will be allowed. They're still warned against gathering in large groups in small enclosed areas, but I think that Japan has really, I think that they've curbed this, and I think that this is very smart for them to let people out now, because if there is going to be a second wave of it, I think they want to see it coming before the Olympics.
Yeah, that is a big concern of the Japanese government, of course, and there's a lot of talk of the Olympics being canceled, though they're still proceeding on. The Olympics, I think, we were talking about this earlier, like June, July, something like that, right?
Yeah.
They are ahead as far as the way the virus has gone through the population. But I mean, I just know here, you know, you look at Major League Baseball and they're thinking we're not coming back till July. And wrestling organizations in Japan are thinking about running at the end of this week. That just seems ludicrous to me. Reality check, though, still in North America, finally hit Dana White. It was this past Monday that Dana opted to cancel the next 3 UFC events. One was supposed to be last night in London, England, and the next 2 Saturdays are also canceled. The company also closed their offices and headquarters in Las Vegas till at least March 31st. Now, much like WWE, UFC does have a performance center, but it's located in Las Vegas, and Nevada has banned all MMA events. So Dana was unable to come up with anywhere to legally, or knowing Dana, probably illegally, run the event. Like, no one will take this guy, finally. This means the next UFC event is going to be on April 18th, and that is Khabib Nurmagomedov versus Tony Ferguson. This event was originally scheduled for the Barclays Center in Brooklyn, but we know it's not going to happen there. So at present, there has been no announcement of the location, but it's still supposed to be happening. Mark, I mean, number one, do you think it's going to happen? Number two, do you think it's wise at all just to provide people that are isolated some form of entertainment?
I think it's important for people to have entertainment. I do not think the UFC is going to run on April 18th.
No,
I think that's too soon.
Yep.
I think we've got, I mean, people are saying 8 weeks, right? So
yeah,
I don't think that's going to happen.
My thing is, if WWE has managed to make this a go, then it's the same type of format. And I think UFC might be able to do something, though I think they need more personnel involved because they need all, you know, the medical guys at ringside, because, you know, it's not fake, it's real, right? If somebody gets hurt, and I guess that can be said the same for wrestling, but I just feel like they need more people. So I'll be curious if they can make do with 50 and under, and then if it goes 10 and under, everyone's in a real problem as far as putting any sort of event on.
Yeah, 10 and under is a real small number, so yeah.
Also, we're finishing up the news here, but in regards to Sunday night's main event, we can let you all know it's unfortunate, but let's face it. The event that was going to happen, our listener party at Great Lakes, we were going to do it the day after WrestleMania on the 6th of April. It has also been canceled. I mean, the
what?
Yeah, sorry, pal. Yeah, no.
I thought we were going to do an empty brewery. We're going to do an empty brewery watching of this.
There's nothing to say that we can't just sit there and drink beer and, you know, watch Raw. But knowing what WWE is looking like, I'm not going to watch Raw. I will still drink the beer, though.
Okay, so you're saying it's back on.
All right. So no event on April the 6th. Obviously, when things clear up, we might do something else. And of course, Strikesmania has been canceled as well. Comedy Bar Full Out, Mark, is closed right now.
Oh, yeah. It's closed for the foreseeable future, I think. They're hoping for early April, but I don't think it's going to happen.
Listen, so the only good thing that we can throw at you, for those of you that are locked up in your homes, and you should be, and you're looking for entertainment, and if you happen to be an insomniac, somehow, some way, I've been given a national radio show. It's called The Late Shift. It's not this national radio show. It's another one. It's on midnight till 4 a.m. Eastern on News Talk 1010 and across the country, which by the end of the week, I think is going to be on every Bell Talk affiliate across the country. So I'm just staying up all night long, Monday to Thursday, Mark.
Oh my gosh.
Keeping people company.
And then you've got to be up early on Saturday for the trivia.
Yeah, Sunday for the trivia.
Sunday for the trivia,
and
rather,
then
yes.
Sunday nights for this.
Oh my goodness.
So I'm very busy at the moment. Isolated but busy is my current life. Alone and busy.
That sounds exhausting.
Well, you have to
change your schedule twice.
You should join me for a segment. I don't know about what. Can you think of a segment?
Yeah, sure. I'll come up with something.
Okay, great. So look forward to having Mark on The Late Shift at some point, too. But yeah, find The Late Shift. We're continuing on doing Sunday night's main event. All our podcasts continue on as well. I will also say the one we were supposed to do in studio of the midweek Mark out this week, it'll be on Skype. It won't be in studio, unfortunately. Sorry, guys. We're going to come on back. We're going to take a break. We're going to come on back. And it is time to talk about WWE and AEW and how they differ in taking advantage of a bad situation. Because, woof, some stuff got real bad this week and some stuff got real good. That is still to come. It's next right here, Sunday night's main event on TSN Radio.
I'm made of atoms, you're made of atoms, and we're all in this together.
Bartender Dave here to let all of my bearded brethren know that we are bringing the High Street Beard Care products to North America. From the darkest reaches of South Africa comes the finest beard oils and grooming products known to man. The highstreetbeardoil.ca. To us, beards are not a trend. They are a way of life. We have four beard oil flavors, spicy, woody, citrus, and earthy. A revolutionary beard jelly that'll leave your beard silky smooth and ridiculously attractive. Beard fertilizers that'll help you grow the biggest and most beautiful beard you can imagine. Also beard paste, beard butter, and stash wax. All available at thehighstreetbeardoil.ca. Join us on the high street and spoil your mane.
Thanks for joining me. Appreciate the help. You doing okay?
I'm doing awesome.
I really appreciate your work. So I would like to pose a toast to you. Byron, here's to you. 100% pure, unadulterated jackass.
Oh, wait a minute.
Oh, God,
a stutter.
Andy Kaufman in the wrestling match.
Welcome back to Sunday night's main event, the isolation edition of the show. Myself, Jason Agnew, in studio this week. Mark Andrada joining me from his, we'll call it a home studio. How does that sound, Mark?
Yeah, I love it. Home studio. Sounds great.
Everyone's got a home studio. I also work at News Talk 1010, and all of the hosts are broadcasting out of their home. So really, what you're doing is definitely not foreign to the world of radio.
My Instagram algorithm sold me an ad for a home studio that's just a box to put over your head.
What?
It's unreal. You got to see this thing. Okay. It's so funny. It's just a box. It fits your head, an iPad, and a microphone. But it stands up and it just goes over your head to your shoulders. It looks so stupid.
Again, we got to get Lavransky in one of those and make it a podcast with video.
Yes.
Everything's just lending itself to Lavransky doing something this week.
He's great.
So let's talk about what wasn't great. Last week, Mark, so it's kind of nice that you're here to follow up with me this week because we thought WWE had broadcast Raw and then SmackDown, and when they did SmackDown, it felt like they had learned from their mistakes on Raw when we ended off with the Bray Wyatt and John Cena promo 1 week ago, and both of us agreed that might have been better without fans than it was with fans.
Yes.
So,
yes, I agree for sure. And the beginning of that SmackDown was a bit rough and tumble, right? With this, with Sasha Banks coming out.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah.
Sort of playing to a crowd that didn't exist.
Yeah.
And by the end, it felt like they were figuring stuff out. So you'd think on Monday that they would have continued that thinking forward to Monday Night Raw and that it would have been amazing.
Right. Because this actually, now that this was their first Monday Night Raw without the crowd, right? It was SmackDown that went first. Okay. Sorry. To me, also, I mean, working in news, the news cycle, there is a week's worth of news that happens in a day. I looked at my Raw notes and it feels like it happened a month ago.
Yeah. Yeah. So much has happened this week. Yeah.
But WWE did Raw. I was optimistic about it. I thought they had learned from SmackDown. And there has, in my opinion, never been a worse Raw in the history of the company. And yeah. I posted that on the message board, and everyone was just like, oh, well, just be happy you have something. Honestly, I'd rather have nothing than what I had on Monday. That was beyond belief, but so much so, you were posting up that you started to enjoy how bad it was.
Oh, it was unreal. What a thing we witnessed. I mean, come on. Not only did they take a step backwards with that Raw, they took a running leap at it. Like, they did an about face and ran in the other direction and jumped as hard and fast and long as they could. That, by the end of Monday Night Raw, I was aghast. It felt like an Andy Kaufman project. Like, this is the kind of television wrestling that Andy Kaufman would have put together.
No, right? You know what? I disagree with you there. And I think I posted this up on the Facebook page as well, because when Andy Kaufman did his comedy act, yeah, like, there were times he intentionally did things that were horrible and would make people leave. He was known to do that. Sam Kinison was known to do that. With this, though, with wrestling, Andy Kaufman was a genius. The women's wrestling thing, the Jimmy Hart thing, like, he understood wrestling, and him doing this, like, He would probably buy into what he was going to do here, as opposed to trying to offend people that have nothing better to do than watch wrestling, because that's what this felt like.
Listen, I don't want to get into the nitty-gritty of Andy Kaufman here, but this is a guy that put 11 minutes of static in the middle of his television special.
I guess.
Just to get people to tune out, which is what I felt like they were trying to do at the end of this show. It's like, are you trying to get me to change the channel right now with this Steve Austin, Byron Saxton sketch? Was that a sketch? Is that what we would call that? Was that what that was?
I honestly don't know what it was, because it just had no place on my television. And the thing is, it's another look inside. And it's what we talked about last week, about Vince McMahon and Kevin Dunn not being able to think outside of what they've been doing for 30 years. And this, you know, Steve Austin is a multifaceted performer. He's of value as the drinking redneck, but he's also value as an exceptional interviewer and someone that is a television host. And instead, they couldn't get out of their head that when he's on Raw, he's that Steve Austin. And that Steve Austin act doesn't work without a crowd. You and I could see that a million miles away.
Yeah, I mean, I don't even mind if he's doing that character, but why is he climbing up to the second turnbuckle and giving the double birds to nothing?
Yeah.
Like, who are you? Who's, if you're going to do that, then at least turn around and give me the shot where he's doing that to whoever crew member is standing in an empty, you know, performance center. Like, at least show me that. Who is he doing this to? Because to me, it looks like he's just doing it to emptiness. There's nothing there. Right?
Well, he is. And really, I felt bad for Sasha and Bayley last week. You had to come out and be the first ones to come out there and not know what to expect. And also, look at the experience factor. Sasha and Bayley, I mean, maybe they've been in the business, I don't know, in total 10 years. And Austin, what, he's been doing this for 30 years or so? Like, why didn't he say no? Like, why didn't he look at this? And this is a man who has walked out on the company before. So, like, why didn't he look at what they were telling him to do and say, no, I'm not doing this?
I'm sure he doesn't care. I mean, like, the look on his face when he was doing it, like, he's not a dumb guy. He knew this was dumb. You know
what
I mean?
Yeah.
You could tell the look on his face. He was just like, why is this happening? But I'm sure that he was asked to come in and do it. So he's just coming in and doing it. You know what I mean? He's doing what he was asked to do, even though he knows it's very silly and he looks very silly. And then they do this very silly sketch. I think that that performance from Byron Saxton was one of the best wrestling performances of the year. My goodness.
I just see this edition of Raw popping up on your best of and everybody else's worst of at the end of the year.
I think it might. That sketch really, I was dying laughing. I couldn't, like, that was the step over for me. That was when it was, I'm sorry, this was bad, and you turned the corner into it being so ridiculous. That was the moment for me.
There was a lot that was garbage on Raw, and just not a recognition of what people are good at, and I would throw that into Undertaker and AJ Styles as well. I mean, we talked about the Undertaker, and how does he look, and what's he going with here, and AJ brought up, you know, Michelle McCool and his real name, so he's definitely adapted his character into more so the American Badass, but what was this guy wearing, and why did he wear that?
I don't know. I don't know what any of that was. But that's exactly the kind of foolishness that I feel like doesn't work. And that, put that right up against the John Cena Bray Wyatt segment, because I think there are parallels to be drawn here. And it's like, John Cena Bray Wyatt worked well. The Undertaker thing, the lights coming out, the lights coming up, and Undertaker's just in a new place. Like, the lights going out in an empty arena isn't anything.
No.
That's a terrible idea. Well, if you're going to do that and you're going to tape these in advance, why not just cut it together with some special effects then and go full out Lucha Underground with this?
Now, I don't think that this one was taped in advance. I'll give them right. That little bit. I think that they did do Raw live, and I don't know that for sure. SmackDown 100% taped in advance. We'll get to that, those sketches, because those were sketches on SmackDown. But, yeah. But, you know, on Raw, there were... I mean, the positive, the Edge promo at the beginning of Raw was good as far as Edge's delivery, but was it as backwards to you as it was to me?
How so?
So Edge's promo said, he said, Randy got everything handed to him on a silver platter. He had to earn it, and that made Randy mad. Isn't it the other way around? The storyline should be played out where Randy got everything handed to him and Edge is the one that's mad because he had to work for it. Like, why would Randy be mad at someone having to work for it? Like, it just doesn't make sense as far as the way humans think.
Yes, but this is exactly the kind of disconnect that I've come to expect from WWE. You know what I mean? Where they say a thing and then they go, oh, and here's the other thing mushed together. It makes sense. Don't worry about it. It doesn't make sense. It hasn't made sense for years, though. This is par for the course.
There's just...
You don't think so?
No,
you don't think this is exactly what they do all the time?
It is. No, you're right. I don't...
This is like, remember when Vince McMahon... I always use this as the example because consider the very source of this whole thing. Remember when Vince McMahon came down to the ring and then he was saying something about Jack and the Beanstalk?
Yes, yes.
But it was David and Goliath. Yes. And it was like a combination of two different stories, and one of those stories, I don't even know what that other one was. Like, that's exactly it. I think in a nutshell, that's exactly what WWE's writing has been like for the last little while.
Is there any way that WrestleMania can be good and entertaining at this point from what we've seen this week from WWE?
Yes. Yes. I think it's still possible.
Why? And how?
Because who produced those segments with Matt Hardy for the
Jeremy
the broken
Borash.
Matt Hardy? Right, Jeremy Borash, and he's still there, right?
And I think that because I think I forwarded you that I follow Jeremy Borash on Instagram, and I saw him taking a picture like he was there at the tapings, and he's clearly not being utilized or he's being completely ignored because Jeremy Borash is a very intelligent person. He's a jack of all trades. He really helped Matt Hardy with the broken Matt Hardy character and all the stuff at the Hardy compound. Clearly, he's not being consulted here because they're still doing this, but you think him taking over somehow or contributing can work?
Well, the thing is, if they're shooting WrestleMania in multiple locations, they're going to have different teams of people working on them, you'd imagine, right? So maybe he gets a match or three, you know? he'll do a match, he'll do two matches, he'll do three matches maybe on the whole show. And those three matches, I think, will be very interesting if he gets to be in charge of them.
I'm very curious to see what they do in regards to the matches, because I feel like a lot of them are still going to just take place in a ring. And we haven't heard at this point, as of the taping of this show, whether there's plans to do, you know, the bunkhouse brawl in the back of a pickup truck, or, you know, something in the at the Matt Hardy compound, which won't be because he's gone, but different locations, or Bray Wyatt's. The problem is, though, Mark, I just thought, you know, I just said Bray Wyatt, and we've seen a Bray Wyatt match that was out of the ring, and it spawned a Twitter account for you of Bray Wyatt's fridge.
Oh, yes.
Because that was what they did with Wyatt and Orton, and it was still a colossal failure. The Wyatt family in the New Day trying to reenact what TNA did with their Matt Hardy stuff, it was a failure as well. WWE has an absolute inability to adjust their style to think outside what they've done for 30 years.
Yes, you're right. You're right. It's Vince McMahon and Kevin Dunn just hanging on as hard as they can to this thing that is stale as all heck. I forgot about Bray Wyatt's fridge, and I forgot about that. What was the name of that match?
I don't know. The New Day. Randy Orton. Oh.
No, the Randy Orton match. It had a name. It wasn't the House of Hardcore. It was something like that, though.
It was something like that. It was awful,
that
though.
That was terrible. What if it's a whole WrestleMania of just those?
Well, that might... I don't think it will be. I do think that they're going to keep a lot of it in-ring, but, you know, there's an inability to change, even as we can peer over to SmackDown here, and after watching AEW, and let's hold off some of the good stuff to the next block, because AEW made some changes, but for instance... SmackDown took nothing. It's like they didn't even watch what AEW did. The only thing that you can say that SmackDown grew apart from Raw is they decided to pre-tape, and pre-taping for them decided to, or the only thing they took from that was to allow that sketch to happen. That sketch with Miz and Morrison playing multiple characters. And listen, I giggled here and there, but they broke their own rules when they did that, because they did the sketch and then they went into a match which is supposed to be live, but it's not, after doing a sketch where they're playing multiple people. They put rules in place and then broke them.
Yeah, it was mind-boggling. You know, for a company that makes movies, brother, they don't know how to make a movie.
On SmackDown as well, we saw the first appearance of Gronk. We might as well talk about this. Is this guy likable?
It's hard to tell. It's hard to tell when in this situation, you know, because Steve Austin didn't come off as, I mean, what was that segment? So how can anybody fare well here?
He's a frat boy, dumb jock, but he may be just, you know, one of those like nice guys like that. He might be, but I can't tell. I can't figure out what he is. And along with the no crowd, I mean, you were saying, you called the Austin and Byron Saxton thing a sketch. Everything I watched on SmackDown felt like a sketch. You say a line, I say a line, and there's no crowd to fill the in-between, so it just felt like watching sketch comedy. And I'm talking like bad high school sketch comedy is what I was watching on Friday night.
I've seen a lot of bad
I know
sketch
you have.
Comedy. I've seen a lot of bad high school sketch comedy. I'll add it to that. Yeah, you're right. This felt exactly like that. I don't know. I'm hoping that WrestleMania, I mean, one of two things for WrestleMania, right? Either WrestleMania needs to lean in so hard to this and be the worst possible car crash of a show, or they really need to figure out what's going on. And I just wonder, because you know that they're at home watching AEW. You know that somebody on that crew is watching the AEW show.
Well, Vince and Kevin Dunn, I don't think are. But I think
you don't
that,
think even Kevin Dunn, you don't think Kevin don't know, Dunn's man. Watching any of it?
He's too busy traveling in his airplane, personal jet, listening to Nickelback and AC/DC.
That's what an unreal image for
that's,
me to have. Thank
but
you
that's
for that.
What it is. Like that's imagine those two guys who love Nickelback and AC/DC, they're rocking out. Two though, that's current for them. That's the mindset that they exist in. And no offense to anyone who loves Nickelback, but I mean
no.
That is what they bring to the table as far as thinking outside the box. They are stuck in a mindset. They continue to do it over and over again, and they have an inability to adjust. I know I've said it three times, but it bears repeating because it didn't get better. And I was actually hopeful leaving this show with you last week that it was going to get better and we were going to get into a world of wrestling like the whole world itself. We've never seen anything like this happen. And there are different. This is a time where politicians can rise to the occasion. And this is a time where people can. There's certain companies, like there's a gin distillery in Toronto who decided to start producing hand sanitizer because they looked at what they had and what the need of the people was. And they're like, you know what? Let's make a pivot and let's do this instead because that's what we need to do in these times that are completely new to everyone.
Yeah. And those are selling well. And I think that's AEW would do. That's what AEW did.
Yeah. So let's take a break. Let's come back. We'll get back to WWE a little bit later, but let's talk some AEW and what they did, because they did change. They didn't do what we thought they were going to do, Mark. They did something different, and we'll talk about it when we come back. You're listening to Sunday Night's Main Event on TSN Radio. This is how you remind
me of what I... If you like wrestling, then your friends probably do too. And there's no better gift for a friend than a sweet wrestling t-shirt from ProWrestlingTees.com.
The Festival of Friendship!
From Ring of Honor, New Japan, and the Independents.
Super Kick!
To classic superstars like Shawn Michaels, Andre the Giant, and the Macho Man, Randy Savage.
The cream of the crop!
Find the perfect gift for the wrestling fan in your life at ProWrestlingTees.com.
Now let me take this time to formally introduce myself to you, Chris. My name is Brody Lee, and I am the Exalted One.
Oh my God! Brody Lee just took Daniel's head off! Brody Lee is the Exalted One!
Catch a fly.
Welcome back to Sunday Night's Main Event. All right, we talked about the bad, Mark, and the fact that WWE did not learn from not even their mistakes the week before, because I was giving them a pass on anything, but just learn from what other people are doing. They refused this week.
Yeah. They like I said, they took, not only did they take a step backwards, they sprinted. They sprinted backwards as hard as they could.
So we were very curious to see what AEW was going to do this week. Again, uncharted territory, like anyone trying to do anything in life, never mind producing a television show. And you had made the suggestion that you thought they may go to a studio show style setting, which would make total sense considering Cody's background of Dusty Rhodes, etc. You know, they did those studio shows. They went different, though. They did make a few changes. They opened up with Cody, and then they put the performers around ringside. And that was a huge key to this show being successful and filling that dead air that WWE consistently has.
Yeah, it was so great. MJF sitting at ringside with Spears, and they're just gambling on the matches.
That was Spears' best performance in AEW.
Yeah, that was such a great running gag that they kept coming back to. I mean, that alone, I think, really helped the show.
What I took away from the show, that was the number one thing. Yes, the people at ringside was great. Turning the set around was absolutely crucial to making this show work. For people flipping by, a lot of the time, and what I mean by this is normally the camera angle is pointed so that you see the crowd in the background behind the ring. And AEW thought, well, if there's no crowd, number one, they didn't put out chairs, which was smart. What the hell do you need chairs for if there's no people sitting in them?
Why does WWE put out chairs?
I guess to just avoid the vacant walls, but I didn't notice vacant walls because they darkened the room and the camera was pointed back at the ramp, which was a huge AEW logo, which made all the sense in the world. And if you just flipped by and saw this logo and two guys in the ring or women in the ring or whomever in the ring, I forgot a lot of time while watching it that no one else was there.
I get that, you know, in traditional wrestling television, you want to see the fans behind the wrestlers. But I've often thought the better shot was of the ring with the stage and ramp behind it. That's my favorite place to sit when I go see a big live show. I love sitting right where the hard cam was for AEW.
Really?
Like that's my favorite seat, because then I get their entrance coming straight at me and I get the ring perfect straight on, as opposed to having a corner like one of the turnbuckles or something in my view.
Mm-hmm.
That's my favorite view at a live wrestling show. And for them to do this, I thought it was brilliant. What a brilliant, brilliant move. The beginning was a little bit clunky, but I feel like it almost helped. Like that worked, that it was a little bit, there were moments of silence and it felt a little like awkward because they were admitting to what it was, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. They did have to open that door, let us in behind the scenes. I found it a little bit strange that they combined the reality of the world with the angle between the four of them, but it is what it is. That's the direction
that's
they went with.
Yeah.
What they did push through, though, is two debuts. And this is, of course, the biggest news coming out of the show is the fact that we had the leader of the Dark Order revealed and we had Matt Hardy revealed. So Brody Lee is the leader of the Dark Order. We had him pop up in the ring confronting Daniels and Kazarian, being introduced by Evil Uno and Evil Stuno. And what'd you think? I mean, clearly they had planned this out, so it was going to be in Rochester, and they just pushed forward with it. I kind of think that they should have pulled back on this one, especially if they were pulling the Matt Hardy trigger.
I don't. All I could think about that was that I had tickets to Rochester. Please don't bring this up. I'm so bummed out that I didn't get to see that. Because the Matt Hardy thing live would have been insane.
Could you imagine Vanguard 1 coming down in a full arena and how people would have gone insane for a drone? They would have gone crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's a bit of a shame, but what else could they do with such short notice? What else kind of a show could they put on? I get it. They still stuck to their storyline, and they're not going to now for next week.
No.
Which I think is smart, but I mean, it takes a second to pivot, and I think the pivot that they made was pretty fantastic.
Actually, I question it. I question both of these things that they did. So they've done. So what Mark was mentioning there is that they're not doing Blood and Guts next week. Right now, I think it does look like they're going to have a show. But if you notice, they were also very clear on the broadcast to say on the next Dynamite, as opposed to the next week, not knowing what regulations are going to be put in place, because as we've said, every day has a week's worth of news and events that are happening. But the two things we're talking about here, so Brody Lee and Matt Hardy. With the Brody Lee, like, I think they did enough in the show by changing the camera angle and having the guys at ringside that it would have been satisfying without these two debuts. Brody Lee, I think they could have held out with the Dark Order. We could have still done some vignettes, and I don't think that they needed him here. I think that they also had a cool Lance Archer vignette, which was amazing.
Yes.
And have you seen the Peanut Butter Falcon?
No, I haven't.
Okay, so everyone listening to this, you're obviously staying at home and watching things. Peanut Butter Falcon, it's basically like a Huck Finn story, and it involves a guy with Down syndrome who wants to go and become a professional wrestler, and they go down a river, and there's a whole bunch of things to it. But Jake the Snake is in it, and Mick Foley is in it, and it involves wrestling. It's not the greatest movie, but it's something to fill 2 hours of your life, and it's fun to watch that. And then you'll see this vignette that they did with Jake the Snake and Lance Archer. It is a direct pull from Peanut Butter Falcon. Like, for sure, it is inspired by it. So check that out.
I haven't even heard of it until this week.
Oh, really? Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, you brought it up to me, and I hadn't even heard of this movie.
So, but Brody Lee, I think they could have continued on here, and I don't think that they needed the reveal, and especially to do the reveal with Matt Hardy. And I'm also thinking that, was it just me, or did you not think that the fifth member on their War Games team was going to be Dean Ambrose John Moxley, after John Moxley cut the promo outside saying he was always going to be a problem for the Inner Circle? To me, it played perfectly that you could have left this week just having Cody's team being decimated and the Inner Circle always will have the advantage. And that leaves you in the Blood and Guts match for that fifth member to come out as Dean Ambrose. John Moxley. I know it's obvious, but why not just go that direction as opposed to revealing Matt Hardy when that could have been such a huge deal? Even if it's a couple weeks down the line, spread things out.
Yeah. I mean, I think they just had planned to have that Rochester show be so big.
Right.
Leading into Blood and Guts that they just didn't think to swerve the storyline in another direction before they went to air. I think it's fine. It's not the end of the world to me. I wonder how those guys feel about debuting that way. Mm. Because I could hear the echo of a delete, delete chant yeah. while Matt Hardy was doing that. And it was just so, I wish there was an arena full of people.
Yeah, it is really unfortunate because those are one huge debut, and by that I mean Hardy, and then the Brody Lee thing is fine. Oh, what do you think about him being placed in this role? You know, I like it. Do you?
I like it a lot. Yeah.
Why?
This makes perfect sense to me. This is a continuation of his character.
Kinda.
This is a guy who was in a cult, right?
Yeah.
And he escaped that cult and now is starting his own cult in another location. All of this makes perfect sense. And then of course my own mind starts spiraling into maybe Bray Wyatt is going to leave next and then he'll come over to AEW and they'll have a cult leader feud. I don't know if that's a good idea or a bad idea.
Probably a bad idea. That's a bad idea. Well, I'll be curious to see, you know,
listen, I haven't left the house in days. You know what I mean?
we do constantly see AEW, and I mean, they're very new, but it's kind of the Paul Heyman theory from back in ECW where you hide the weaknesses and push the strengths of people. I am curious, though, whether it's doing that with Brody Lee. I didn't really care for his ring gear. The purple and the eyeball, I'm like, why is this so indie wrestling looking? You know what I mean? Like, Evil Uno's that same thing. That mask is terrible.
I don't mean to crap on the gear of the guys, but I feel that way almost across the board on AEW. A lot of the gear, like a lot of their ring wear is like Private Party's ring wear. Oh my gosh. I don't know. I feel like they need to just take a look at that.
If you're going to broadcast on TNT and you're going to be pro, then you got to look the part. You know, it's dressed for the job you want, not the job you have. I guess in this case, dressed for the job you have. But you know, you got to look flashy. They are competing with WWE. There's no two ways about it, and they got to look the part as well.
For sure, I agree.
So as far as this week goes, what do you see for AEW this week, keeping in mind we will probably have a show? It's supposed to be Wardlow versus Luchasaurus, Lucha Brothers versus Best Friends. Do you think we get the parking lot brawl?
I think the parking lot brawl makes sense. I think a lumberjack match could make sense as well with those, because they kind of set it up with those guys, with everybody sort of being around ringside anyway.
It's not supposed, if you look at the world of social distancing, it's actually not supposed to happen. And you know WWE will pull all of their battle royals for WrestleMania because of that. You know, putting two guys in the ring at once is one thing. Putting 20 guys in, or putting, you know, 10 guys around ringside, not ideal as far as what's going on in the world right now. They might receive criticism if they do it, is what I'm saying.
You don't think they're going to do a social distancing lumberjack match where each lumberjack needs to stay a meter apart from the other lumberjack?
Honestly, that would be very funny if they put like tape on the floor and made them stay apart.
Yeah, a little caution tape on the floor to, this is your area, Colt Cabana, you may not leave this area.
Yeah, there's certain stores in Toronto that have actually done that, that have put tape on the floor when you're checking out. Here is your square that you stand in until the next square is empty. Then you can move to that square.
Yeah, I think the 7-Elevens are doing that too,
the
right?
The liquor store is doing that here, yeah.
Oh, wow, jeez. Yep.
Okay, let's go back to, before we get on out of here, let's go back to WWE a bit and talk about what they countered AEW with. On NXT, they basically did a recorded program, and Tommaso Ciampa versus Johnny Gargano, this was a piece that I started watching, and I'm like, this is incredible. And then it kept going and going. Yeah. And going. And then when it was done, we got another one about Finn Balor that kept going. And then when that was done, we got Rhea Ripley that kept going. Like, this show was so boring.
Yeah, you made it a lot further into the show than I did, I'll tell you that.
Did you turn it off? Because I turned it off once I hit, I started doing other things about 15 minutes into the Ciampa thing. And then I got to Finn Balor and I'm like, is this all this is? I fast forward and went, I don't need to watch this.
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't watch it. When I realized what was going on, I said, I'll listen to somebody recap this because I think this is what this is going to be. And sure enough, that's what it was. So I didn't watch it at all. I'm not interested.
Yep.
I'll say this though, going, I don't mean to go to pull us back to AEW,
no, do it.
But I just want to say my one favorite part. And the moment that I thought worked the best on the show was Colt Cabana's altercation with Kip Sabian.
The I'm a wrestler too, you know.
Yeah, I'm a wrestler here too, pal. His delivery was so great. And the slap in the face, I don't know if that was planned or not. Like, obviously they were supposed to have a bit of a shoving match, but Kip Sabian sold that. His face looked so shocked that he had been slapped. It's like, did you just slap me? And then had to walk slink away. It was so great. Like, what a great – and the way they transitioned into that piece with an interview with Colt Cabana at ringside and him just saying that and Kip overhearing it because he's right there. They're admitting their proximity to each other and getting into a thing. I thought that moment was – I think that was my favorite part of that program.
You know what that was shades of? That was shades of The Undertaker and Brock Lesnar at the UFC event when Brock had fought and The yes. Undertaker walked by him and Ariel Helwani yes. was interviewing him. Like, that was basically pulling from that interview and execution.
Yeah, you're right. That was. And that was so great. Remember how excited everybody was for that match?
Worlds colliding there, and then it took him a while to get the match in gear, and then Lesnar won, which I still think is a mistake. All right, that is good for this segment, because we are hitting the top of the hour here in radio time. We are going to take a break, come back, Meltzer, Channing Decker, the Turnbuckle Trivia Tournament, and then we will bring Mark back on to talk about all the things we missed. And we haven't even got into Goldberg and Reigns yet. We got to talk about the awful Paige video. We'll do all that in the next hour, so stick with us. Sunday night's main event on TSN Radio.
I just dropped in to see what condition my condition was in.
Thanks for listening to the free version of Sunday Night's Main Event. Well, that was just hour one, but if you want hour two, then please sign up to our Patreon, patreon.com/SNMEradio. It's just $1 a week. You get the full 2 hour show, commercial free, and along with that, all of our bonus podcasts that include the Midweek Markout, All Elite Weekly, Sunday Morning Trivia, and Dan Lavransky's Music Show. All of that comes to you for just $1 a week. So go get it right now. Patreon.com/SNMEradio. Welcome back to Sunday Night's Main Event. This is an angle and perspective on wrestling that I've wanted to have someone on to talk about since the coronavirus hit and started shutting down shows. And this person is a great example of a promoter, of a wrestler, and he also just happens to be involved with the upcoming Dark Side of the Ring Season 2 documentaries. He'll be featured in it. I'll tell you about that in a little bit. But first of all, let me welcome to the show Channing Decker. How are you?
Jason, thank you so much for having me on the show, man. I appreciate it in these times. You know, it's good to talk.
It's definitely uncharted territory for every industry. Of course, we're going to focus on wrestling because we're both heavily involved. Of course, with you, you're not only a wrestler, but you're also a promoter. You're the promoter of Greektown Wrestling here in Toronto. So when all of this started to happen, how did it fall upon you? How did you find out about it? And then how did you react to it?
Well, I think part of what makes me unique as a promoter is the fact that I do get to have the perspective, the shared perspective of being a performer and a wrestler week in, week out as well. And so we were faced in Quebec with a situation where the government had already stepped in and imposed regulations and made suggestions regarding social gatherings and things of that nature. And a few promotions that I work for were insistent on running shows in spite of all that. And we were faced with a real moral conundrum. You know, my buddies and we collected a couple of us, and we made a stand, and we said that we didn't think this was the right thing to do. And I think this is the precedent that needed to be set. And, you know, flash forward now a couple of weeks later, and you see where we are in the world. I think that, you know, this is the time to take this very seriously and to avoid, you know, specifically pro wrestling events and things like this that can incite public gatherings.
So as far as you, that's you working as a wrestler, and as you being a promoter, did you just got word and then shut down all your events? I mean, we in Toronto, we're not under lockdown as of yet, but,
right.
You know, my comedy shows have shut down, and I'm guessing Greektown's just on indefinite hiatus.
Yeah, well, that's exactly it. And in as much that, you know, we run about roughly 8 to 10 events, I should say, in a year's time. So it's not exactly that, you know, I have to cancel the upcoming week's shows. We had just performed an event at the beginning of March when this was still all very much, you know, in conversation as opposed to actually happening around us at home. So it was still very much, you know, across the pond, so to say, metaphorically and literally. And then, of course, flash forward 1 week later after that, basically, we're living in a new world. And, you know, the possibility of, you know, can we run shows without streaming, or with streaming no audience? Can mm-hmm. we run shows with only so many people there? I think that those realities are becoming less and less our own, and we need to just take time and look at the information and be cautious in this time is what I think is most important.
Now, you know, we have seen other promotions do the streaming thing and run empty arena. What are your thoughts on that? Because as a performer, like if somebody calls right. you and says, hey, do you want to come in and do an empty arena show? Is that something that you would consider and do?
Well, let me tell you this. I don't mind. I won't share the promotions,
sure.
but very prominent promotions have contacted me in this time, and I have actually made the ethical decision to say no, to decline. And that's because, Jason, personally, I don't mind taking this opportunity to say that I think we are faced with a very, very, very real threat here, that we need to act hard and fast right now. And, you know, people like myself, you know, albeit on an anthill of a little bit of pro wrestling fame, you know, it still needs to be people like us and much, much, much bigger who set examples for people who know that we need to overreact now so that we are, in fact, safer later.
Yeah, we've heard flattening the curve over and over again in the media.
That's the new the new lexicon for all of us at home, I guess.
That is definitely what people are saying out there. So, you know, I follow you on social media, and I've seen you all over Japan. And as far as bookings go on your part, how much, as an independent wrestler, did you have booked up and have now lost at this point?
Well, I mean, that you mentioned Japan. I just got back from Japan at the end of January. Again, you know, avoiding what was going on in Yokohama just, you know, maybe even weeks after I had left. But I guess what for me I was fortunate to have is that my bookings had exploded. So I had been booked up basically straight through into the end of the summer, into the fall dates. And of course, you know, they've just 100% evaporated. Now, I completely agree with that being the recourse of action. But, you know, for me, to be honest, Jason, I was really building a ton of momentum. You know, Japan mm-hmm. was a blessing. It was such a great experience. I'd come home to Canada, and I've just been on a real tear since about beginning of February. Love the people I'm working with. Love my own work. Love the prospects of what was happening. We just announced Mick Foley for Greektown at the time. It was rolling. It is rolling. You know, we're going to keep optimistic. I'm going to stay positive. But yeah, in short, to watch a lot of your hard work, you know, go up in smoke in front of your eyes, you just got to keep faith and know that it's going to be around the corner again, and you got to stay hard, stay working hard, and, you know, find ways. You know, we got to survive, Jason, right?
Well, yeah, and that was going to be my next question for you. So in your spare time, here you are. So much of your life revolves around pro wrestling. What are you doing now? Aside from maybe, I hope you have a gym
at
home.
I think just about like everybody else, you know, we're sitting at home, you know, we're catching up on the classics on Netflix, things like this. But I think more specifically for a guy like me, you know, I've always found a way. I think this is the key to my success, too, is that never to let an obstacle prevent you from moving forward. You know, I look at other avenues that I can grow my business, grow myself personally, spiritually, emotionally, physically. I'm looking at other things online, digitally, that I can do to create that are going to be content-based for fans and people who need some entertainment in this time that might not be, you know, event-based related, but just, you know, other ways that I can challenge myself to be a creative person and stay being an artist, because, you know, we can't let this rob us of ourselves and our souls. You know, we just have to be safe and try to do the best we can this time, you know?
Well, one of the things that I think wrestling fans are very excited about that you're involved in is Dark Side of the Ring. I know it
Absolutely.
Seems morbid to say that, but the first series, the first season was mm-hmm. exceptional. It was on everyone's list as best series of the year last year,
mm-hmm.
and we're getting into season two, and you're a part of it. Tell us about your role in this.
Well, let me first off just say I think they've blown the first season out of the water with the premiere. Like I think this episode with Chris Benoit surrounding his murder-suicide is just going to be totally huge for them. It's just wonderful. It's something that me first as a wrestling fan, I mean, I couldn't believe it when I watched it. It was just, you got a feeling the second you stepped on set that this was being taken care of the right way, that the attention to detail was there, that they were really serious about telling the story the right way. So when they brought me in first to play a young Lionheart, Chris Jericho, I thought this was such an exciting and wonderful opportunity, you know, having grown up through the tragedy myself and mm-hmm. idolized both Jericho and Benoit, you know, to experience it from that perspective and now to see it from the other side. I mean, even myself watching it, you know, I learned information about the case that I had not even known as a wrestling fanatic for how many years now. So it's really gripping stuff. For me, firsthand, it was wonderful to get into the role of Lionheart and go through the old matches that him and Chris worked and some high spots that they would talk about in folklore. And, you know, I was actually fortunate enough also to slide into the role of Black Tiger, Eddie Guerrero's New Japan gimmick in from about 93 to 96. And I don't get a chance to work under a mask very much, so for me, it was already just a fun experience. They did a wonderful job with the gimmick, the costume, the gear. And just, I mean, to step anywhere near Eddie's shadow is already, it sends chills down your body. So, you know, to be working the frog splash off the top rope, to be walking the ring with Tyson Dukes dressed as Benoit, it was all a very surreal experience for me, and just something that I really feel was a full circle moment for me to reflect on from the perspective of my childhood and as a performer and a professional and a man now.
Now, obviously, Black Tiger Eddie Guerrero passed away, but Chris Jericho, very much still in the scene.
Le Champion.
Someone that I'm sure you're probably going to cross paths with here and there. Was it weird to know that you're playing this guy who is still on top and probably more on top of the wrestling industry now than he has ever been before? And you're doing an, impersonation, I don't mean, but you are playing him even though he's still here and could be watching you. Is that weird for you to think of?
Well, I had the luxury of knowing that he already has watched me. Oh. And thankfully on Twitter, he gave me the Iggy. He appreciated the work. He thought it, he enjoyed it. So, you know, it's nice to have the blessing from the man himself, Le Champion. I think you've hit the nail on the head. He's just absolutely at another level and a wonderful example of how reinvention and, you know, not being complacent as an artist and a performer can just carry you well beyond any expectation. I mean, he's an inspiration in the ring and out of the ring. You know what I mean? So I think that's just another... You know, it felt even like a cathartic way to play Chris, you know, and I have had this good fortune of meeting Chris over the years, mm-hmm. actually, in the back, in various situations. And he's as advertised, he's a wonderful guy, leads by example, hell of a person in the locker room and the wrestler. And, of course, what can be said about Eddie? I mean, the late, great Eddie Guerrero, who, you know, just, I think, I even feel now that it's really just in this era that we're catching up to how good Eddie was.
Right.
You hear a lot of people talk about Eddie as a GOAT now, but just the truth of the matter was, when I was a kid growing up, when he was in WCW, he didn't get that talk. And, you know, it wasn't until later in WWE when he had the title run that people really started reflecting on just the brilliance of his work. And, you know, I wouldn't be shocked if it's not long before Eddie, you know, is in the conversation, if not already, with Terry Funk and guys like this, you know, pure goats of our industry.
Yeah, no doubt. So we look forward to seeing you on that, playing those two characters. And then as far as what you're doing now, obviously we're all self-isolating. What is mm-hmm. the trigger for you to jump back into the business? Do you wait for the government to say it's okay, or what do you do career-wise now?
Well, you know, I think this is a great opportunity to take this platform, you know, just to say a few words that I feel are very important, and because I think that that is a very important question. When do we try to reacclimate into a normal life? And I think that while I think it's very important that we do adhere and listen to the government, you know, regulations and imposing their rules on public events, I think it's also up to us in this time as individuals to be leaders and to make our own decisions in the sense that we need to be in charge of our own safety. And I want to make sure that what I am doing, what I love as pro wrestling, is not compromising the health of anyone else or risking anyone's lives. And I think that we do have to take time to reflect and wait and pause and see when that is the right time. I think it's going to be a very challenging, and it's a very it's a pivotal moment for us as humans. I don't mind sharing. So I'm excited to be part of that fight, and I'm excited to hopefully lead the charge on the other end of this. And you know, I just appreciate being on the phone with you, Jason, and you know, it's great to talk.
Well, I look forward to you getting back to it, but until then, stay inside, and where can people follow your indoor activities right now?
Yeah, you can follow my hardcore antics all over social media. I got Instagram, I'm on all the time, at The Channing Decker. Facebook, Channing Decker. Twitter, Channing_Decker, as well as Greektown Wrestling on all across those platforms, and YouTube as well. You know, we're going to find pro wrestling will survive. We will survive. It's a, you know, it's going to be a different industry when we return. You know, and I'm excited for those challenges. Absolutely, Jason.
That's Channing Decker, promoter of Greektown Wrestling, also out there on the scene. Follow him along with all of his social medias for when everyone gets back out to wrestling. Right now, we're going to take a break. When we come back, though, it is time. The Turnbuckle Trivia Tournament comes to an end tonight. The championship is upon us. A three-way musical dance. coming up next. Let's play some Name That Theme Song right here, Sunday night's main event on TSN Radio.